Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Almost immediately, Esau comes in. He's come back. He's got his game. Father, I'm here. I got the game, and I'm ready for you to eat it, and bless me. And all of a sudden, Isaac's like, who are you? And Isaac realizes what's happened, that he has been deceived. And Esau realizes that his brother has once again tricked him.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series titled The Story of God. Why don't you join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching in Genesis? We're in chapter 32, verses 22. His message is titled The Promises of God, Jacob to Israel. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
We are continuing in our looking at the story of God and the various stages within that story. And we're going to read in a moment from Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. So if you're not there in your Bible, go ahead and turn there. You know, as we have seen, looking at the overarching history of redemption, that's pretty much what we are doing. We're looking at the big picture, if you will, of redemption. But we have seen so far that God chose a man, and Char brought that out beautifully last week, who will father a family that will become a nation, from which will come the Savior, who will crush the serpent's head and restore creation to God's original intent. So that's, we are following the story from that moment when God declared war on the serpent and promised to restore what had been lost. Now, that man is, of course, Abraham. And Abraham was pretty much the focus of the teaching last week. So let's just remind ourselves a little bit about that story. The story, first of all, of Abraham and Sarah, and then the story that really proceeds from their lives, the story of Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Rachel. But in Genesis chapter 12, we looked at that. The Lord said to Abram, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Through your seed, all the nations on earth will be blessed. So this is the original promise that God gives to Abraham. He gives this promise to Abraham when he calls him out of his homeland to become a pilgrim and a sojourner and to go to a land that he would give him. Now, Abraham, as we follow the story, Abraham had two sons, Ishmael, who was born of Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, and then he had Isaac. And Isaac was the son of promise. And so the covenant was passed down to Isaac. That same covenant that we just read that God made with Abraham about him being a blessing to the nations and so forth, that was passed on to Isaac. So we read in Genesis 17, it says, then God said, Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. My covenant I will establish with Isaac. So the promise God gave to Abraham now passes to Isaac. And then Isaac, when he becomes an adult, he marries Rebekah. And they have two sons, and the sons are twins. And so we read in Genesis 25, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." The older, as I said, is named Esau. The younger is named Jacob. Jacob becomes Israel. And from his 12 sons comes the nation through which Messiah, the Savior, will come to bring blessing to all the nations as God promised to Abraham. Now, this word God gives initially to Rebekah, the older shall serve the younger. But then as the two grow up, there is a point where God speaks directly to Jacob about this promise. And so this happens in a place that Jacob will afterward name the house of God. He will call it Bethel, which means the house of God. And so in that story, we see that Jacob has fled. And we'll get some of the details about why he fled in a moment. But Jacob has fled. He's headed away from the land where he is dwelling with his parents in the land of Canaan. And he flees back to the homeland of his mother. But as he goes, he's weary. He stops for a rest. He lies down. He uses a stone as his pillow. And as he falls asleep, he has a dream. And in his dream, he sees this ladder or the stairway descending from heaven and touching the earth. And the angels are going back and forth on this stairway. And above it, we read, stood the Lord. And the Lord said this, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your seed." So these are the promises that God originally gave to Abraham, now being passed on to his son and his grandson. So let's read the account from Genesis 32, picking up in verse 22, and then we're going to kind of dig deeper into the story. So Genesis 32, let's stand together. Verse 22, we read, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip." This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Now, we're going to get the backstory of all of this in a moment, but But I want to say this. In as I mentioned earlier, and as you've seen, we are we're taking a big picture look at Scripture. We're endeavoring to cover the whole Bible by the end of the year. And of course, in attempting to do that, we can only take the big picture view. But we don't want to miss occasionally those times when we need to come down and look more closely. So in our effort to take a big picture view of the story of God, we must not lose sight of the details. See, that's the danger. And so we have to fight against that, losing sight of the details. The big picture, or you might call it the macro view, is telling us what God is doing. The details, or what you might call the micro view, is telling us how God is doing it. So the big picture, God is renewing the world. God is undoing the work of the serpent and sin and the curse and all of that. That's the big picture of what God is doing and will ultimately do. But as we have seen, God is doing it through people like Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, and people like me and you and all of us. We're all part of this big story. And it's so important to not lose sight of the individual lives that God is working in, because what we learn from the individual lives is the way God works in our lives as well. And so we can never forget that His work is not only through us, but most importantly in us. And that's what we see as we take a deeper look at these lives. Char touched on some of the details of Abraham's life beautifully, and we're just kind of skimming over Isaac's life, but we want to take a little bit of a deeper look at the life of Jacob, and especially his wrestling with this mysterious person who actually turns out to be God himself. That's why, at the end of it, Jacob names the place Peniel. He says, because it's here that I've seen God face to face. So Jacob wrestles with God. Why was Jacob wrestling with God? What is that all about? Now, the backstory is this. Jacob and Esau, they're brothers. They're twins. Esau is the favored son of Isaac. We don't know if Rebecca favored Jacob, but they were close. But as we look at the story, what we see about these two men is that one of them was spiritual and the other wasn't. Esau was the firstborn, but he wasn't a spiritual person. He didn't really care about spiritual things. Jacob did. Now, remember, before they were ever born, the Lord had told their mother, and obviously this would have been communicated to their father as well, that the older would serve the younger. So Jacob, evidently he knows this, but he doesn't know how it's going to happen. So there is an incident where Esau, he's a man of the field, he's an outdoorsman, he's out hunting, fishing, doing whatever he's doing, and he comes back and he is exhausted, he's famished, he's faint, he's starving to death. And Jacob is there cooking a bowl of lentils. And Esau says, oh, give me some of those lentils before I die. And Jacob says, okay, I'll give you a bowl, but actually I'll trade you. I'll give you this bowl of lentils, you give me your birthright. Now the birthright was the, you know, that was the thing. That was the blessing on one level. And Esau says, well, what good is my birthright going to do me? I'm about to die. Sure, go ahead. You can have the birthright. Give me the bowl of beans. And so we read that Esau traded his birthright for a bowl of lentils. And then it says, and Esau despised his birthright. So we see the contrast between the two. Esau doesn't really care about spiritual things. Jacob cares so much that he has got to figure out a way to get this blessing, even if he has to trick his brother. Now, a little bit later, a similar kind of a thing happens. Isaac prematurely thinks he's dying. He is old. His eyesight is dim. He thinks he's dying. And he says to Esau, he says, my son Esau, my favorite son, my son who brings me the best food. Go out into the field and get that game and cook it for me just the way I like it and bring it to me and I'll eat it and then I will bless you before I die. So Isaac is ignoring what the promise had stated, that the older would serve the younger, and he's going to bless and enshrine Esau as the one to inherit the covenant. Now, his wife, Rebekah, she overhears this whole thing, and she says, that is not going to happen. So she says to her son, Jacob, we've got to do something. Your brother's gone out to get game for your father. Then he's going to come back, and your father's going to bless him. So here's what we're going to do. And she instructs him, go get a couple of young goats from the herd. I'm going to prepare them the way your father likes them. You're going to take them to him, and you're going to pretend to be Esau. And Jacob says, that's never going to work. My brother's a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. This is not going to... I'm not going to get a blessing. I am actually going to bring a curse down on myself. And Rebecca says, let the curse be on me. Do what I tell you to do. So Jacob does it. And when you read the story, it's like a nail biter, you know, because you're like, Jacob goes in before his father and he's pretending to be Esau. And here I am, father. Who are you, my son? I'm your son, Esau. Are you sure you're my son, Esau? You don't sound like him. Oh, yes, but it's me, father. And then the father, Isaac, says, well, come near and let me feel you. So Esau is hairy, and Jacob is not. But Rebekah had devised a thing to put goat's hair on Jacob, so it seemed like he was hairy. In my mind, I'm wondering, like, what did that look like? How did that even, goat's hair? So sure enough, Jacob, no doubt with great trepidation, approaches Isaac, and Isaac feels his hands and says, oh, okay, all right. It is my son Esau. Then he smells his clothes, and he's like, oh, yes, the field, because Jacob was wearing Esau's clothes. Oh, yes, you smell like the field. You are my son. And so, as the story goes, Isaac eats the food, and he gives the blessing, the Abrahamic blessing, the covenant blessing to Jacob. He pronounces a blessing on Jacob. Jacob leaves the room, and just, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, it says almost immediately Esau comes in. He's come back. He's got his game. Father, I'm here. I got the game, and I'm ready for you to eat it. And bless me. And all of a sudden, Isaac's like, who are you? And Isaac realizes what's happened, that he has been deceived. And Esau realizes that his brother has once again tricked him. And Esau begins to cry, Father, bless me, bless me. And Isaac says, I've blessed him and he will be blessed. And Esau laments. He seeks for the blessing, but it doesn't come. And this is the reason why Jacob is fleeing, because Esau swears that he is going to kill his brother. So Jacob flees and he goes to Bethel, and there God meets him, and God affirms that the blessing that Isaac put upon him is actually his blessing. And so Rebekah had sent him away, go to my father's house, go to my brother, get yourself a wife from there. Don't take yourself a wife from the Hittite women like your brother is doing. That's grievous to us. So that's what Isaac does. He goes off and he meets his mother's family, and he ends up marrying the daughters of his uncle Laban. He falls in love with Rachel and wants to marry Rachel, but his father his father-in-law is just as tricky as he is. And so he fools Jacob, and on the night of his wedding, he slips in his older daughter Leah instead of Rachel. And so in the morning, Jacob wakes up and he realizes what has happened. I've been deceived. And he goes back to Laban, says, "What have you done? I was serving you for Rachel, your daughter." And Jacob, or Laban, says, "Yeah, but you know, it's not right. Our custom, it wouldn't be right for the older sister to not be married and the younger sister to get married. So serve me for longer and I'll give you Rachel." And so he does, and then the story goes on, and Leah and Rachel, they are the ones who become the mothers of Jacob's children, who will become what we know historically as the children of Israel. But there comes a point in time when Laban is really mistreating Jacob, and Laban is swindling Jacob over and over again. And the Lord appears to Jacob and says, it's time to leave. It's time to go back to the land that you came from. Go back and I will bless you. And so Jacob makes the preparations. He leaves. Laban finds out about it. He's angry. He chases him down. He threatens to kill him. God intervenes and tells Laban, if you touch him, you're a dead man. And so finally he gets freed from the clutches of Laban. And Jacob is now moving back toward his homeland where he came from. But he knows that his brother, even though 20 years have passed, he remembers the situation between him and his brother that caused him to leave in the first place. So he sends messengers to Esau with all kinds of gifts to let Esau know that he's coming home, and he's really hoping that bygones can be bygones. And the men encounter Esau, and they come back with this report. Esau is on his way to you with 400 men. And Jacob, understandably, freaks out. And that's where we pick up the story. That's where we read from. Jacob, when he hears this, he cries out to God, "Oh God, you're the one who told me to go back. You're the one who's been guiding me. Lord, you know, help me. Don't abandon me." You know, he's crying out to the Lord. And then as soon as he finishes praying, he then starts devising these schemes on a way to somehow appease his brother and get away from the judgment that might be coming his way through Esau.
Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is an unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. to order the powers of darkness and the people of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Story of God series. Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.